Happy New Year to you, and it's a wonderful opportunity that I have to speak on behalf of the goodness of God. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be here today, and we give you praise, glory, and honor for the privilege to witness on behalf of the kingdom. We recognize real quickly that there's nothing we can do without you. But if you guide us and if you direct us, we can do it, and we thank you for it. Bless us and bless this new year for each one of us that are here, that you've allowed us to come into this new year, knowing not what it holds, but we know who holds this year, and that's you. Thank you for it. Bless your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I thought that the best thing that could happen to anybody would be to recognize the fact that there's a source of power to be unleashed that nobody can stop if we have the faith to believe it. So the thought that we want to speak to you from today is, believe it or not, prayer works. Believe it or not, prayer works. I'd like to take you then to take a quick look at what prayer really is. The simple words that we've used over the years, and we've gotten used to it, we say that prayer is talking with God. And that's a simple term that we use, but it's a bit, brothers and sisters, it's a bit deeper than that, in my opinion. In fact, I have a term that I've adopted over some recent years here, that prayer is as prayer does. Prayer is as prayer does. What I really mean by that is that when you are faced with an issue, or even before you are faced with an issue, you have a relationship with God. And that relationship that you have with God takes you right into the throne room of God, not just at the time you need it, but every day and every night. Now, if you're one of those old brothers like me that's been around a long time and been through a lot, and have put God through some turbulent times. I've really put him through some. I don't know how God put up with me, to be honest with you. I don't know how he's put up with me over the years, coming up on 83 years in a few months. So when we think about what prayer is as prayer does, it means that my relationship with God is my prayer. And, you know, if I have a friend or you have a friend and you were sitting in a crowd and you see something that you want to tell that friend that's sitting right next to you, you could probably reach over and touch him or her and say, whisper to him and say, "You see that right there?" Whereas if they're on the other side of the room and you got a good sized room, you could not tell them. And the reason why you couldn't, you're going to disturb everybody else, and whoever's up speaking or whoever's doing whatever they're doing, you're going to disturb that, because you can't speak to your friend unless you yell at them. Or, "Well, preacher, where are you going?" "I'm so glad you asked me that. Where am I going?" I'm saying, if you have a relationship with God and you're close to him all the time, when you need something, when you're in trouble, when there's turbulence in your life, you can speak to him without disturbing anybody else. You can just whisper to him and say, "Lord, I need a little help here." And you know what? Help is available to you. So believe it or not, prayer works. Let's look at an example of what happened in the beginning of the new church. Let me take you to Acts chapter 12. And I want to look at the, and I won't get through all these verses, but I'd probably like to look at with you the first 19 verses. But let me just read a few of those for you. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. The devil likes to mess with the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, now these guys were Jews too, but his Jewish friends were happy to see him get killed. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, this is verse 3, he proceeded further to take Peter also. He's going to really shake up the church. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore, verse 5, therefore was kept in prison, but prayer, I wish you would hear me say that, but prayer was made without ceasing, was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, watch this. Four quadrants of prisoners is 16 prisoners. I'm sorry, 16 guards. And these fellas weren't no little fellas that you could push around and do strange stuff with. They were big folks. And not only were they big, they were trained to fight. And they had no problem with killing your hind end in a second. They drop a bomb on you in a second. So now here's the deal. Peter was very comfortable knowing that James had already been killed, and knowing that if something didn't happen, he was going to be killed as well. But he had no problem with it because he knew that God had his back. Now, in verse 5, we see that the church gathered, and they really began to pray. But now watch these rabbits, I'm going to call them rabbits for a second, who got into prayer. And let's look at how they did that. Verse 7. Now, the church in verse 5 is at prayer. They're asking God to give Peter freedom. Do you all hear me this morning? I hope you hear this. They were asking God to give Peter freedom. Verse 7. And behold, now this is while the church was at prayer. The angel of the Lord came upon him, verse 7. And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off. We say, somebody is probably saying this morning, that was then, this is now. I've been praying for God to do something for me, and he hadn't done it yet. Watch this. From his hands. Verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird up yourself, bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. This is the angel talking. folks, the church is still praying. Verse 9, and he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He didn't think it was true. Verse 10, and when they were passed through the first and the second ward, those were all gates and doors, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city. That's the last gate coming out of the prison, which opened to them, them being Peter and the angel, on its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street forth with the angel departed. The angel departed in verse 10. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When that happened to Peter, he began to really wonder. But look at verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all of the expectations of the people of the Jews. In other words, these Jews who want me killed ain't going to see that because the Lord has delivered me. Now, I'd like to stop here, brothers and sisters, and I want to encourage you. When you pray, believe it before you ever start that God is going to do it. Now, I want you to look at these. Remember early on when I started this message today, I said the silly rabbits are still praying. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about silly rabbits like me in years past. It took me a good long few years to recognize that if I believe something before I ask for it, it's got to happen. Even if it don't look like it's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway. Now watch verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many, many were gathered together praying. That tells me, now this is the church, the silly rabbits. Now watch the silly rabbits. Watch the silly rabbits. And by the way, I don't see that much change in many of us in churches today, including the pastors. Verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. See, they had everything locked because something could happen and break in, or somebody could come in and shoot him or whatever. When he opened the gate for gladness, but ran in and told, now watch what happened to silly rabbits, told Peter stood before the gate. Watch the silly rabbits, verse 15. And they said unto her, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? Peter's in jail, tied between the soldiers. Now, they've been asking God to release him. She constantly affirmed that it was even so. It is so, you all. Peter's at the door. I know his voice. Somebody come with me and let's look, because Peter is at the door. No, Peter's not at the door. That's an angel. Silly rabbits. Listen, folks. God wants us to trust him and believe in him and know that he will answer our prayer. And all we have to do is to trust him. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoned unto them and said, hey guys, keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. I don't want to make any noise, because there's things I've got to do, and God has fixed it so I could do it. While you all were praying, God sent an angel. And I don't know, this is not in the scripture, But I kind of have the belief that some of them said, how did it happen, Peter? I ain't got time to tell you now. But believe it or not, prayer works, folks. This is what Peter is saying. That is not in the scripture that way. But he wanted to reaffirm and let them know that God had answered their prayers and turned them loose. And every soldier that was in there, those that were chained to him and others in all of the other wards throughout the prison, nobody woke up. Nobody was disturbed. Even with the light being turned on in the prison, that light came on, but nobody woke up. Brothers and sisters, I'm thoroughly convinced that prayer works. When we began to recognize the fact that God would take nothing and make something, we can have whatever we want. Listen what the Lord said to Peter back over in Matthew chapter 16. The Lord said to Peter and the disciples, and Jesus came back into the coast. He said, "Who are men saying that I am?" This is what he asked his disciples. This is in chapter 16 of Matthew, and they said, "You're a disciple. You're one of those that passed and dead and come back from the dead." And so, and then he said, "Hold on." Verse 15, he said, "But who do you say I am?" See, that's where the buck stopped right there. What do you believe? What do you believe about the Lord? Do you believe that the Lord is who he is, that he would do what he said? And then Simon Peter said, "Yes, I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's verse 16 of chapter 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bajana, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but it's the Spirit, it's the power of God that revealed that to you." Now listen what he said. Verse 19, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I just need to tell you that God, through Jesus, has set this thing up for us so that we can have access to the throne of God, sitting in the middle of a jailhouse, sitting in the middle of the doctor's office. When the doctor has given you a bad report, you can turn the bad report into a good report, and nobody know what you did except you and God. Oh, that's bad stuff, y'all. Mm. I want to tell you that God is bad, and I want you to know, can't nobody stop him. And I don't care what anybody say to you. They can say, "Oh, I remember you when you used to drink wine. I remember you when you used to use drugs. I remember you when you used to commit adultery and fornication and do all of this and that." You don't have to pay them any attention. All you need to do is be still and know that God is God. And ask for what you want. I'm believing and trusting God today that the church where I am, the church where you are, whatever church you belong to, that you will begin to trust God and know that everything that is, well, let me put it this way, everything is all right. And I want you to know that he is. He's able to present you and to present you faultless before the throne of God, if you trust him. And the Lord told us that, "Behold, I've given you power." This is in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. "I've given you power over the enemy, and that anything that the enemy bring to you, you can grab him by the neck and turn him around and send him away howling." Well, that's a Mississippi term right there. Send him away howling and hollering and crying because you stumped his toes real good for him. Be encouraged, and just remember, no matter what the world believes, prayer works. God bless you today, and we thank the Lord for you, and we come to prayer right now. Father, we thank you for the goodness of the Lord Jesus, who died on our behalf and caused us to have the power today over the enemy. We thank you for it. Go with us now and guide us through everything that's coming at us in 2016. Can't nothing stop us if we just trust you and know that prayer works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.